In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and thanks so much for joining us for Word for Life as we dig deeper into God's Word. We're in Exodus chapter 2, verse 16. Moses has just murdered an Egyptian, and the other Israelites have found out. He therefore has fled Egypt, and he is in Midian. And we pick up in verse 16 where it reads, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock." Now, in such a short time, we're already seeing the character of Moses change. In this case, he didn't rise up and murder anyone. Instead, he drove them away. Now, what do we know about this priest of Midian? Well, we know his name is Reuel. Exodus 2:18 will tell us that. His name was also Jethro. We see that in Exodus 3:1. Originally, he was not a follower of Yahweh. In fact, Exodus 18:11 tells us, "Now I, Reuel," or Jethro, "know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behave proudly, he was above them." So we find out later in Exodus 18 that Jethro probably becomes a believer. So this means that as a priest of Midian at this time, Jethro, Reuel, is an unbeliever. And that means their daughters are unbelievers. Now, he has seven daughters, but later, at some point, he does have a son. Numbers 10:29 tells us, "Now Moses said to Hobad, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, 'We are setting out for a place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" So this son, Hobab, most likely was born sometime in the second 40 years of Moses' life. But he's clearly not here in this passage. So it'll be several years, most likely, till he's born. Now, this priest of Midian, Jethro and Reuel, is referenced in the Bible quite a bit. He's known as a priest to the Midianites and to God. He's a father of seven daughters at this time. Reuel literally means friend of God. Jethro means his abundance and excellence. He's also called the father-in-law of Moses. He's also the father of at least one son, as we just read. And he's a Midianite from the Midians. That's a family location, Numbers 10:29. Now, there are a lot of famous women at the well. This is kind of neat, too. Rebekah, you might recall, Genesis 24, verse 11. "And he made his camels kneel down." Now, this was Abraham's servant that was sent to find a bride for Isaac. And so he kneels down with the camel outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Later, Rachel, Genesis 29:9. "Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone away from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father." And then we have a third woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John 4:7. "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" And as we know later, she would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So wells are wonderful places to meet. And today we don't have wells. We have the water cooler. Or now we have Starbucks. But in either case, it's kind of neat to see how God will use the ordinary circumstances, ordinary places in life to do extraordinary things. And so here's Moses having fled Egypt, having murdered a man. And by this time he reaches this well, he's learned one lesson, how to handle conflict a little bit differently. Now, what do we know about Midian? Well, Genesis 25:1 tells us this. "Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. So after Sarah died, Abraham remarries. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. Ishbak, and Shuah. That's right. So Midian is actually a descendant of Abraham, as is Moses. But Moses is a descendant of Abraham and Sarah, where this priest of Midian is a descendant of Abraham and Keturah. Pretty neat. And it goes on to say, Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Lechuim, and Lemumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abadiah, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and while still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac, his son, to the country of the east. So this priest of Midian is a direct descendant of Abraham. Absolutely fascinating. In fact, 1 Chronicles 1:32 mentions this. Now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, and Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. So we can see from the other books that there is a relationship here, which is pretty cool. They both can trace their lineage back to Abraham. Now Genesis 37:25 has some interesting information on the Midianites as well. Now this is in the time of Joseph's life. And they sat down to eat a meal. This was Joseph's brothers. And they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, and on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother Joseph and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders, there they are. So clearly there's some relationship between the Midianite traders and the Ishmaelites. And they passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. So you know the rest of the story. So it's fascinating how, once again, the Midianites, in God's providence, come along and actually are used to protect the Israelites. The first time, instead of Joseph being killed, they're given into the hand of the Midianite traders. And that led Joseph to Egypt, which eventually he was exalted under Pharaoh. And then God used Joseph to save everyone through the famine. And then here we are once again with the Midianites, but with Moses. As we're going to see, Moses is going to come under the house of the Midianites and be protected. Moses is going to be sheltered for 40 years in this family. Now, what's neat about Moses is that he stood up and he helped them and he watered their flock. Moses handled this situation with a godly approach. Now, let's go to verse 18. Now, when they came to Reuel, their father, so the ladies come back, the daughters come back and tell dad all about the story. "How is it that you've come home so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you've let the man? Call him that we may eat bread." And so it's great to see how dad's like, this guy helps you and you don't offer any hospitality. Come on, girls, get your act together. So pretty neat. Left the man literally means to abandon without aid or assistance. This was a pretty big rebuke by dad to his daughters. An Egyptian means that they did not have enough conversation with Moses to find out that he was actually Jewish. Drew enough water, which meant that he protected them and Moses served them. And Reuel Jethro reveals his gratitude and hospitality. Although Jethro is an unbeliever at this time, he proves to be a generous and wise individual. So he's not an ungodly pagan. He's a godly man, just doesn't have a right understanding of who God is. So what's the application? I think practically, how do you show appreciation to someone who shows kindness to you? This is something that we have lost in our society. First, when we try to help people, most people say no because they feel, for a variety of reasons, it's just not right to accept help. Pride kicks in. There's a variety of motivations. But today, most people just don't like to accept help. And when help is received, very often people aren't thankful. They're not grateful. In fact, they begin to think they're entitled to it. But we see here with the daughters and Jethro how true hospitality works and how to show appreciation. And you think about it, Moses did a great service by protecting Jethro's seven daughters. So now we come to verse 21. Moses becomes the husband and father. Verse 21 reads, "Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses, and she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, 'I have been a stranger in a foreign land.'" Now, the question that has got to be in your mind, it certainly was in mine, is, has Moses been sidelined? Has his sin of murder disqualified him for being useful to God? It appears that Moses' sin has disqualified his future usefulness, but in the shadow of his failure, Moses settled down, he serves rule Jethro, he marries, and he has a family. And during these next 40 years, Moses will mature. These are great gifts and mercy by God. And let me just encourage you. You may have great sin and failure in your life, but God can redeem that. But the way he does that, the path for redemption, is you humbling yourself, you submitting to his word, and you obeying God's word. That is how God changes lives. Not all at once, but one day at a time. Through your obedience, the more time you distance yourself between your sinful past, the greater your growth will be. So let me encourage you, if your past is something you have great regrets about, confess those sins, put off that sin, and then begin to walk in righteousness. And God will use you again. It's like I said last time, in the house, there are many vessels of honor and dishonor. But if one cleanses himself or herself, they can be a useful vessel. I speak to you today as a 25-year-old Christian. And I got saved out of drugs, alcohol, and just a life of sin. And that first year of salvation was joyous. I enjoyed my salvation. But there were many nights where I just said to myself, how in the world am I going to undo this mess that I have made? And the truth be told, I didn't undo anything. It was God in me, working through me, one day at a time, growing me, shaping me into the image of Christ, feeding me his word, the Spirit helping me understand, and me just working and serving and just in the moment obeying God. This is a important truth each of us must grab on. Just like Paul says, he was a chief of sinners, but by grace of God, he is what he is. And we look now at the life of Paul and we stand amazed at all that he did by the power of God. We wouldn't be here reading some of these letters if it wasn't for Paul. So God can still use you. Just begin to cleanse yourself and obey his word and take it day by day. Be faithful a little so that one day God can help you be faithful in much. I so appreciate you joining us for this broadcast. If you want our show's notes, email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. This is Pastor John, discipleship pastor of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. Come by and visit us. And if you do, please find me and say you heard us on BCY.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.